Dr. Peter Levine has worked with many clients with severe, almost unapproachable trauma. Ray was no exception. Ray was an Iraq war veteran who was gravely injured by a makeshift bomb. But underneath Ray's traumatic injuries, there lived a deep feeling of shame. Peter searched for a way in, a place to take hold and finally help Ray release his pain. This is how he did it.
This was a young man that I worked with a few years ago. He was a Marine who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. And he was blown up by two IEDs. And he woke up 2 weeks later in the hospital in Landstuhl, Germany, unable to really walk or talk. He was severely debilitated. And he was diagnosed with PTSD, traumatic brain injury, depression, chronic pain, and Tourette's syndrome. Now, you don't just get Tourette's syndrome. And he was on, I think, at least half a dozen, probably more, heavy-duty medications. You can view the work I did with this man. A short documentary was made of this, and you can get it from YouTube. I think it's called Peter Levine, Ray's Story. That's his name. But anyhow, when we first meet in Los Angeles at a case consultation group, we see him completely just looking away and looking down. It's impossible for him to make any contact. At the same time, his body is going through these convulsions. And that's why it was diagnosed with Tourette's. But from the vantage point of somatic experiencing, what we're seeing here is an arrested response, because in the moment that bomb blows up, the body, the eyes, the brain, the eyes, the head and neck are all turning to try to localize, to locate the source of this disruption and be able to respond to it. Of course, you can't. You can't respond to bombs going off and being thrown into the air. But when we were able to slow this reaction down by having him learn to let go of some of the tension in his jaw and his neck, he very quickly started to feel tingling. Oh, I should mention one thing. At the beginning, he's talking about how he doesn't want to be a burden to people. He doesn't want people to have to take care of him. And I say, it sounds like you want your independence back. And one of the things I've discovered when you're working with a client is to get something important, to get them, to get what's going on with them and to get where they're at, and to get it right away, because that makes a big difference. In that moment, he looks at me and then goes back to, you know, to his posture of collapse. However, as he starts to feel tingling in his hands, warmth and waves of warmth moving in his body very, very quickly, simply just by interrupting this incomplete response, then he starts to be able to engage with me, and we're able to begin to talk together and to work together. As I say, you can watch the whole sequence, and I'll go over it a little bit on YouTube. And also, actually, in my book Trauma and Memory, I actually go through the session sequence by sequence, explaining what happens in every frame and what I do and why I do it and then how it leads to the next frame. So this is one I've worked quite a bit on because he generously allowed this to be used because he, you know, would be able to help his brothers and sisters. It's one of the reasons I really, really like working with military. It's this sense of brotherhood and dedication. You know, a lot of times when we're working with military, we think, well, you know, they're addicted to the adrenaline. And there's truth to that, of course. But there's something so much deeper, and it's about a commitment to serve others. And if it's you know, going to through the houses in Iraq, or you know, bringing first aid into a, you know, into a, an earthquake region, that's where they belong. And so it's really, again, important that he knows that I get that. And so then we do another session. The Tourette's syndrome is 80% gone. You just see very little indications of it. He's able to stay in contact. And we do a few exercises to also change the information that's being sent from the viscera, from the guts up into the brainstem, again, to shift even more out of the shutdown into more here and now presence. And it's an exercise that I use frequently. It's the VU exercise, and it's vibrating the sound VU deep in the belly, so it sends a new sensory information back up the brainstem. It's also, I describe it and how to use it in the book, In an Unspoken Voice. So anyhow, we do that, and again, more tingling, more ability to be in the here and now. You can say trauma is a disorder of losing capacity to be in the here and now, as is shame. Then in the third session, I ask him to see if he can, I ask him how he's feeling on the scale of 0 to 10, 1 being when he just returned from the hospital and where he is right now. And he says 4. He could be at a 4. So I say something like, well, could you imagine being at a 4 or 4.5? And he looks ahead, because remember, trauma is about not being able to imagine a future different than the past. So this is a useful tool when, you know, to help a person orient to their timeline. Again, works with trauma or with shame. So, excuse me. So then I see him moving his arms like this. And I just mirror, at first it's very slightly, and then I mirror it. And then he says, yes, I can imagine a 4.5. I can imagine a 5 or a 6. Now that we've resolved the shock, which is the first key part of the session, and we then can begin to work with some of his emotions. And particularly his survivor's guilt and his rage. And so I had the opportunity to invite him to, I would do these week-long workshops at Esalen Institute, call it The Ordinary Miracle of Healing. And so I asked them to invite him as a guest, which they did. And so he also was able to continue his work, but also be with a group of people who were, you know, who were different than his military colleagues, as a way of kind of re-entering. I'm sitting next to him, and I'm working with his sensations, and I think something, he says something like, it's really a bad feeling, something like that. And then I suspect that it's probably he's starting to come to terms with the survivor's guilt. So I ask him to say this sentence and make it clear that these are my words, they're not his words, but just to say the sentence and to notice what happens. And the sentence I ask him to say is, I'm alive. Because he's feeling, oh, that's right, he was feeling aliveness in his fingers. He was feeling more energy, more aliveness. So I have him try saying the sentence, I'm alive. I survived. but others didn't. And he says that, and you can see him again going into the shutdown, into the shame. And I say, okay, Ray, I want you just to tell me what you're feeling right now, okay? And he says, rage. Rage. Rage is like wanting to kill. So I set up a situation with the members of the other members in the workshop. So because what happens is when we have rage. Rage is about wanting to strike out and to destroy, to kill what's threatening us, what's, you know, interfering with our lives. And so, but because of that, because we're afraid that we might hurt somebody, people who he knows closely, or hurting himself. So he, instead of just going forward, he contracts muscles that inhibit that forward movement of the rage. And so it's, again, a locked-in situation. So what I do is have two of the members of the group just hold, again, it's you'll see it in the video and in trauma and memory. They just hold his arm. In other words, they take over the holding back function. So that way he can just direct his impulse out. And the idea is not to have him rage, because that's not going to be productive, but to direct this energy. And in doing that, you can see he takes a deep breath. There's a relief. And he says something like, I ask him, what are you noticing now, Ray? And he says, power, strength. I'm feeling strength. So instead of shame and rage, there's now strength and the sense of being able to move forward in his life.
If you want to see the full video of this amazing session, please check out Somatic Experiencing Ray's Story on YouTube.